Your head looks extra smooth.
Does it?
Yeah. Is anything you want to let us know?
Extra smooth?
Yeah, well, because it was a close-up. When this whole thing started, there was a close-up of your noggin. And it looked smooth. It looked like a baby's bottom.
Really?
Yeah. You got some different moisturizing routine or something?
No, I haven't done anything. I reckon I'm due for that red light treatment again.
Oh, okay. Is that something you have to do regularly?
Yeah. God, these glasses are these glasses are terrible. Let me get
they're very reflective.
They are the shit.
I'm not editing this podcast, so it's started. We're underway. We're beginning. I know you can hear me. I'll get my beer out of the way first.
And what do you got?
I have a red ale.
A red ale. Those glasses are way better. Look at
they're
that.
Way better.
They were my utility glasses. They're the ones for watching the computer.
You know the problem with those glasses you just had on?
What?
Too clean.
They're brand new.
Too clean. See?
These have got some anti-reflective. I'm taking those fucking things back tomorrow.
Jesus Christ.
They're supposed to have, I said to them, make sure they've got the anti-reflective thing on them because I have OnlyFans.
Oh, wow. Okay. And then what'd they say to that after they finished laughing?
Watch OnlyFans.
They didn't, did they?
Oh, she was pretty cute. Well, pay me the big bucks.
Yep.
What's happening?
What's it like being home for 2 weeks in a row?
Extended period of time. Yeah, it's pretty good, actually. I get to hang out and do things and ride my motorbike and drive my hairdresser's car. And
yeah, nice.
Good. Go to the gym. It's good. I'm back in the routine and I'm very, very happy about it. So very happy about it. Now, we need to have a discussion about a post on the Facebook group, which if you have not heard it, of what the group is, it's facebook.com/groups/BossandTheBrewer.
Well, you're going straight there.
Yeah, because there was a post by, was it Nick Lennon, wasn't it? And yep. He put a post up about, what did he say? I got the thing.
Well, it's very relevant to the topic we're talking about.
It's relevant to the topic, that's why we're mentioning it. Okay. He said, this is going to be controversial, but Hendo, the fact that you can't clean a glass at home, how on earth do you spread all these rock star techniques to make bulletproof beer, which seems amazing, by the way, and a huge fan? I still unfortunately can't get my head around it. Are you completely lazy at home? It makes no sense to me. The easiest thing ever is cleaning a glass, yet you teach everything and can't even clean a glass.
Wow.
It's almost ironically moronic. Am I wrong?
That got aggressive towards the end, didn't it?
I think he's a bit frustrated.
Have you seen how many comments are on that post?
No.
Just the 12?
12.
All right. How do you respond to that, Hendo? That's shots fired, isn't it?
It's shots fired, but I'm happy to engage in some meaningful discussion, right?
Okay.
So Adam Schell taught me how to clean glasses. Actually, both Adams Schell taught me how to clean glasses.
Well, they didn't do a very fucking good job.
They're both – okay, I'm coming to that, right? Okay. So basically they're both highly experienced hospitality experts, right? Mm. So Adam Schell used to run a few venues in Sydney and that sort of thing. And then
which one are you referring to?
The other one. And then Adam Schell is a cocktail champion, Australian cocktail champion or something like that.
So they
both know how to clean glasses, right?
Mm.
And they all give me shit about the fact that my glasses are dirty. I recognize it, right? And that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But here's the go, right? Is that I'm a brewer. I'm not a fucking Cicerone. I don't know how to serve beer. I just put the thing in the glass. And of course you're going to say, yeah, but you work so hard to put something high quality in such a shit glass. Yeah, I know. I get it. And I think that I think what Nick said there, was it ironically moronic?
Mm.
That's my middle name.
Okay. Which one, ironic or moronic?
Both.
Both. Hyphenated.
Both. Yeah. Because it's funny. And so what usually happens with my glasses is I put them in the dishwasher.
Yep.
And I use the cheapest possible dishwasher powder, which you can, which also, is now Bunnings, by the way.
Oh, like cheaper
if
than
you're
Aldi.
Not buying, if you're cheaper than Aldi, if you're not buying your washing laundry powder and dishwasher powder and rinse aid and dishwasher cleaner and everything from Bunnings, man, you're wasting money.
Have you been to
$3. Yeah, but I don't want to. I live by myself. I don't need to buy a pallet of the shit.
That's true.
Okay.
That is true.
And so Bunnings is the way to go. And so, and it's just sodium bicarbonate. It's not that fancy. And the water in Brisbane is very high in calcium. And so those, the glasses are dirty because they've got calcium deposit on them. So realistically. So
do you think you could solve that problem by wiping them after cleaning?
No, you don't wipe them. You're not supposed to wipe them.
What about just wiping them with like a microfiber cloth, you know?
I was not taught that by both Adam's Shell.
Well, we used to do that at the brewery. So that like that must have been a reason why we used to do that.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not a Cicerone either, but.
Yeah, well, neither am I. So anyway.
Don't we share the same water supply?
No.
No, only when shit
gets we're on the Southeast Queensland Water Network, but we have very different water. As a brewer who's very interested in water chemistry, I get to see lots of water reports, and Gold Coast water is different to south side Brisbane water, is different to north side Brisbane water, is different to, say, Moreton Bay water if you go up to Strathpine, Brendale, and Sunshine Coast water. It's all different, even though we're all interconnected on the Southeast Queensland Water Network.
So the only reason my glasses are reasonably clean and yours are not is just the water that comes out of the thing.
Correct, because most of your water on the Gold Coast comes from the desal plant in Tjugan.
Is that true? That can't be true.
Yes.
Didn't they shut that thing down like years ago?
No, it still runs.
Really? What do they use that for? Why do they need that? There's a massive dam.
Because it tops up the thing, so you deplete the dam slower.
I don't know if that's true.
Let's have a look here. Look at this. Look at
what are you working with?
I paid special attention there.
Well, okay, hang on a second.
Pretty close.
Okay, well, that's not too bad. The episode. Oh wait, I just did the.
No. I've got the beer. I'm actually doing something really different today.
Right.
I'm drinking a sour.
Oh, I was going to say
it was pink, and so this is the take a photo of that.
Is that you? Is that your kid? What's happening there?
No, that's the Babyface Grenache Sour Ale from Revel Brewing Company.
So you've got a red ale as well.
Versus Forage Supply Company.
Okay.
So bought this from Common Ground Cellars. Thank you very much to Common Ground Cellars. It's not a sponsored beer. I pay for it. And
just
I'm going to drink
on that and see what you're working with.
Yeah, rightio. Let's have a look here. It's a beautiful pink color. It smells like a fucking Grenache.
It looks like a very similar beverage to the beverage I'm drinking.
Oh. That's a tasty beverage. It's very cidery, lots of green apple.
Mm.
And there's a little bit of Grenache going on there as well. That's a tasty beverage. That is a tasty beverage. What does it say here? Beer and wine, a collaboration with our friends from the Barossa Forage Supply Co. We present this Grenache Sour. Freshly picked Grenache must, direct from the winery, is infused into the brew, resulting in a masterpiece. It pours vibrant pink, exuding aromas of red fruit, grape, and pomegranate. Pay that. There's apple in there as well. Enhanced by an effervescent carbonation and culminating in a pleasantly refreshing acidity, crafting an intriguing beer experience. It is intriguing, and I don't drink a lot of sours, but here I am.
Intriguing. Copywriter has put that together.
Yeah.
Some good words.
Yeah, so there you go. And another thing as well. You want to say something else as well?
Go on.
Okay, this is something. I was having some beers with a friend who'll name nameless last weekend and that sort of thing, right?
The name is not Adam Shell. We can say at least
no,
that.
No, it's not. Right. It's definitely not either of the Adam's Shell.
Okay.
So let me ask you this question, right? How often do we speak to each other that's not recorded on this on the show?
Zero.
Zero. Maybe the odd message about, hey, we're on for tonight, send through them. Show notes and all that sort of stuff.
Literally zero.
Yeah. Literally zero. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. When was the last time we saw each other in person?
Probably Pinopalooza. I'm guessing.
Was no, it? No, no, my birthday.
Oh, your birthday. Yeah, yeah, your birthday.
Yeah. So yeah.
And then before that, Pinopalooza. So, yeah, a couple of times.
And then before that, Pinopalooza. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was really interesting because, like, I was chatting to this friend and you and I, we've been doing this show for a long time. And the thing is that we don't, like, every, like, 99% of what we say to each other is recorded on this show.
100%.
Yeah. And we don't talk to each other outside the show.
No.
And so it was really interesting because this person that I was speaking to had built up some opinions about what I thought about things purely because of what was spoken, what we speak about on the show. And we have differing opinions on different things. And that's what makes you know, good, interesting repartee and all that sort of stuff. But it was like, there's a lot of things that you and I don't agree on, and that's okay. But we don't fucking plan this shit. We don't talk to each other outside of this recording, right? So it's like really, really what's happening is that our relationship between you and I is 100% on the table for everybody to see. It's really intriguing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but we've known each other for a long time. Like I'm not a particularly social person. I don't kind of go out and catch up with that many people. You know, if I was still in the industry, we would probably see each other a lot more often. We used to see each other more often when I was, and I've known you for a very long time. So, yeah, it's kind of a weekly catch-up, but I feel like most people understand that. Like,
yeah,
there's been lots of times where I've said stuff on the podcast that, and you say nothing after I say it, and vice versa.
Mm.
And I think people can understand that. That means that the other person doesn't agree with what that person said. So that's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. But it's interesting. So just for clarity, is that Dan and I don't have the same opinion on lots and lots of things, and that we don't talk about it really anything outside of what you hear.
No, well, so, I mean, you can listen to that.
So
live.
I guess what I'm saying is before anyone forms any opinion of what I might think of something or what Dan might think of something. First thing I'm going to tell you is go listen to the podcast because we've probably spoken about and it's all on the record.
Well, if you listen to the Black Ops one, I mean, that's a good example of the fact that we don't talk to each other because you start with a 20-minute Matt Kierkegaard style monologue. I just say that was, I don't agree with any of that.
So, yeah. Case in point.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just wanted to get that off my chest because it was like, it was interesting because like, it was like there's particularly around Black Ops, there's people that around the Black Ops situation is that they people think that you and I have the same opinion about that, and we don't, and it's cool, you know.
But there's a lot a lot of stuff happened to Black Ops, and eventually, hopefully, all of it comes out and people can form their own view about everything. But you know, I know more than anyone, obviously.
Yeah.
And I've never, ever been able to say as much as I wanted to say. And lots of other people have said things and, you know, I haven't really been able to say much in response to those for lots of reasons, legal reasons mainly. And eventually I will, and people will form their opinions either way. I think it's also a thing with when you're doing content. I have the same thing when I listen to podcasts. Like I will listen to a podcast and I'll form an opinion about someone. Or like, you know, see them on the news or get some media and you'll form like a super strong opinion about that person. And then when you meet them in person, all of that goes out the fucking window.
Yes.
It's happened to me so many times.
Oh, I get that a lot.
Yeah. So I think it's a normal thing. And I think it's a good thing to remember if you're listening to content, listening to people talk or just reading articles about people. It's a good thing to remember that you're kind of getting a distorted version of, you know, that person. And
absolutely,
you know, you might change your mind if you meet the person. I've met some people that I thought I would hate, and then I meet them in person. I'm like, fuck, this person's actually cool.
Absolutely, you know? And I think that's the thing that I experienced. You know, last weekend was that there are people out there who might have an opinion of me who don't know my actual opinions, but for what they've heard on this show.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not only with this show, but also the content that I do for Rockstar and stuff like that. All of that is an extension of one's personality. My personal Social media is an extension of my personality, and you get to see, you don't see everything in my life. You get to see the good bits and the funny bits and all that sort of stuff and the stupid shit that I do because I post it because I think it's funny and it's worth sharing.
Right.
Or it's interesting, you know, and it's worth sharing.
And maybe you'll say something that's slightly controversial or something because it's, you know, that's what works online or whatever. Yeah. But I've been surprised when I've hung out with you in person, actually, which has been only a few times. I've actually even been surprised about the hang. You know, it's different. It's when we hang out in person, it's different to when we do the podcast. This has happened to me with almost everyone I can think of when I've had an online relationship with them versus a real life relationship. So you've got to agree.
Yeah, exactly. When we were hanging out at Pino Palooza last year and that sort of thing, it was like we hadn't seen each other in person in a very long time, and I don't even think I'd hung out with Aaron before or anything like that.
No,
ever. And it was great. We had a good time, and the cameras were off. That was the real good thing. And you could talk about stuff that you wouldn't normally talk about because we've got a fucking Google Doc on the other screen that says what we're supposed to talk about.
Yeah,
So
yeah, but in saying that, we do try to keep it real. I mean, I try to give my opinion on here, and if people don't like it, I get that. I get that. Why they wouldn't, but you know, it is what it is.
Exactly.
Speaking of things people aren't going to like, Valhalla Brewing enter VA.
Yeah, that's not the only brewery to close this week.
Okay, you got another one?
Yeah, the Craft & Co. on Smith Street in Collingwood, that closed this week. That was not a VA, they just closed that venue. So
right.
Craft & Co. is associated with Homemaker. And the people that do, what are they called? Like Alpha Laval, it's not Alpha Laval, it's like one of the brewery equipment supply companies, which I can't remember the name of off the top of my head because I haven't dealt with them in a long time. But that closed this week.
Is it like a showcase type brewery for equipment? Or?
Well, I think kind of that's what it originally was, but it was also did some really good. It had like a brewery and a distillery, and then upstairs it had all these little hobby kitchens sort of thing in a big room, and then they could do like, food classes and sausage making classes and all that sort of thing, and it was kind of interesting. But nice. they closed it. So, yeah.
Yeah, well,
what was the story with this one?
I don't have a lot of knowledge of this brewery because it's a long way away from where I live. It's kind of sad reading it, to be honest. But you know, when you read these articles about breweries closing, you're getting the story from that the brewery wants you to hear, and you know, you're getting the crafty pint kind of massage version of things. I feel like when you get these stories, so you don't really know what's going on, but it was sad. I felt a bit sad reading it. It sounded sad. And there was one thing in there that said the Union Street revenues were down 50% compared to a year ago.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's fucking mental.
Mate, have you been out on a Friday or Saturday night to any hospitality venue at the moment?
Yes, I feel like
it's fucking quiet.
Is it though?
It feels like it. Yeah.
Maybe you're right. I don't know. I was out last night, and
it was Origin last night, right?
Yeah.
And I was out in the valley doing something non-Origin related, and it was fucking dead. And I went to my usual place that I like to go to Bloodhound, but they'd only put one bar person on to run the whole venue. And this person had to run the bar and run food. And so there was a queue practically going out the door because people couldn't get a drink. And I ended up leaving because I was like, this is shit. I'm not waiting 10 minutes because this guy's run off his feet because he's the only person on.
So there was people. I mean, it's different being an Origin night.
Well, they would have been sitting there enjoying a drink, but instead it was just like, it's Origin night, you know?
I feel like the culture, I mean, I don't live, like where I live, it's in a weird location, as you know. We've got a little collection of shops down there in Churn Park, but it's not like where you live, where you're kind of in the city and you can go to kind of precincts where people go to drink. But
yeah,
I do think the culture has changed a little bit. Like I walk past, there's one bar down the road from me that's a sort of a dedicated bar, and it's never busy. And I kind of think, like, who actually goes to a bar these days? Like just a bar? Like, am I just old thinking that people don't really do that anymore? Like, I would not just go to a bar really. I mean, I haven't been there. We've lived here for 3 or 4 months. I have not been there once. And I walk past it regularly because I go to dinner.
Yeah.
Or I go to the bottle shop, you know, or you go to a brewery. I don't know. I feel like the culture's a little bit different. But it doesn't mean places aren't busy. Like generally, I haven't noticed places have been super quiet.
I've noticed that. Like a lot of the places that I've been to, you know, restaurants and bars over the last, you know, couple of months and something, before I even went to South Africa and stuff, it's quiet. It's very quiet out there.
But this is the middle of winter. This is like the dead zone for hospo.
Yeah, exactly. And just it's and this is the other thing as well, is that this is the fucking, this is the hardest part of the year for the brewing industry, for independent brewers. Right. And this is when the independent brewers need your support now more than ever. Right. Which means get out, get off your couch, get out of the house, get down to your local brewery and go and smash a couple of pints. Because these are the hard parts. This is the July and end of July and into August, like literally right now for the next 6 weeks, right? Until the end of August, savage. when it is savage. Right. And we're seeing these VAs now, and I will tell you that there will be more closings and VAs that for breweries that just couldn't push through out of the winter slump.
Right, and there's
it's going to happen in August and September. You know,
100%. And I think a big part of the problem, which again might be an opinion that people don't like, is that people were ignoring this 6 months ago, because there was a lot of people, from my very limited conversations I have with people in the industry, kind of, you know, pushing through the end of last year thinking we'll get a good summer and then we're just barely surviving going into February, March. We just got to push through winter and everything will be okay. But if they get a savage winter, like is probably what's likely going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to be ugly, and it's not in a lot of, you know, people are going to get hurt if these companies keep losing millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Another thing, I'm going to sound like a broken record, but I fucking try to get beer for this podcast every week, but I will not buy old beer because the industry has turned me into a snob.
Yeah, of course. Yep.
And I don't have any independent bottle shops near me, to my knowledge. So if we do have listeners who are familiar with the northern end of the Gold Coast and can fill me in on a potential independent bottle shop that has fresh craft beer, please let me know. But I'm not aware of any. So I went to BWS on the way home. They've got a lot of craft beer there. I went through, this is the Savo. I went through and I checked the dates because I'm a fucking snob. Probably, I'd say 8 different 4-packs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Including ones like breweries I knew. And I won't name them because it's not their fault. It's
Of course, yeah.
Breweries I knew, probably 8 different 4-packs. Ones that literally had a badge underneath that said new. And I couldn't find a beer that was made within the last 4 months. I found beers that were going off within a week. Not off, but, you know, best before within a week, which means they're at least 9 months old, possibly 12 months old. This is a problem. You know what I mean? Like it basically means that if you want craft beer, you have to either go to the brewery, if you're really into it, or you have to be a mainstream consumer that doesn't really actually care about the freshness of beer and therefore the flavor of beer. And that's a big fucking challenge.
Yeah,
how do you get around that? Exactly. Especially when beer is not moving out of those bottle shops. I don't have any answers, but I'm just
putting it out there as a
challenge.
Yeah.
All right, Valhalla. Let's see what happens with the VA process. I don't normally look at these VA documents, but if someone sends it to me, I will look at it.
I saw some of the quotes, but paraphrasing some of the quotes, it was like we did two crowdfundings, and I think they basically said both of them didn't. Scott says neither hit the targets they'd been hoping to achieve.
Yeah.
That's like, okay, so you raised $422,000 for your first crowdfunding, didn't hit the target you achieved, and then you got a measly $102,000 on your second. Did you really think that was going to solve the problem after the first one? Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
If you
I'm doing the thing where I stay silent
that,
after you.
Okay. It's like the thing you is talk, that so. You knew the first one wasn't working, right? And that you're on shaky ground, so you go do another crowdfunding. It's kind of like you muted yourself, right, when you were saying something critical.
Oh, good. Let's pray for the best.
No, it's okay. It's probably for the best. Go on. You're right now. Your lips weren't in sync with your thing.
No, I was just going to say I've been very critical about breweries and financial responsibility, and I do worry that, you know, this situation doesn't look good. And we've seen other crowdfundings that are live where you look at the numbers and you think this company is basically insolvent. I didn't look at the numbers for these guys, but On Market back earlier this year, $100,000, and they're out of business 6 months later. That's dicey.
Yeah. Earlier this year. Okay, so yeah, 6 months ago they did a crowdfunding, and now they're in VA.
Yeah.
Come on.
I'll have a look at the report. If people get hold of the VA report from Worrells, I will read it and I'll report.
Exactly.
That.
Something's got to be not legit there.
Yeah, but that,
within 6 months,
50%. The 50% thing is terrifying. Like, that's, unless there's something else going on there, no business is ever going to survive that.
Be good to see the EOI document too.
I mean that I could possibly find. Like, On Market's a little weird. I feel like a lot of the dodgy ones happen on Market, and you can't really see the documents, or some of them are publicly available. Like, they one I sent the other week is public.
What was his name from Birchall? Old mate from Birchall?
Matt Vitale, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. You remember that link he sent us, which had all of the craft beer crowdfundings and you could download all the PDFs?
I do not remember this.
I wonder if we still got that somewhere in an email.
Okay, let's have a look. If it went to bossandthebrewer@gmail.com, it will still be there.
It would definitely be there, exactly. So check it out.
All right, let's have a look. All right.
Not now, but
no.
Worth having a look at.
Not now. Brewers Association announces retirement of President and CEO Bob Peace. I don't know a lot about this, but I was reading through this just thinking, shit, this is a fucking, this is a bit kind of a big deal.
It is. You know, I was hanging with Bob Peace in, yeah, well, I was hanging out with Bob Peace in Johannesburg. And he's a,
you mentioned this?
Legend.
Do you?
No. No. He did not.
Flipped his
he
mind.
Wanted to go. We were talking about going to see the elephants.
Okay. Right. Didn't mention the elephant in the room?
No. Well, no mention of the elephant in the room at all. Bob Peace, who is the president and the CEO of the Brewers Association, which is the American Brewers Association, he was in on the Gold Coast last year for BrewCon. And because I was on the trade show floor the whole time doing what I was doing, I actually never got a chance to go see any of the talks and didn't get the chance to go see him. So I'd never met him. I knew very little about him when he rocked up in Johannesburg. And he is an absolutely fucking lovely, lovely, lovely gentleman who works very hard and is very passionate. He's been doing that job for a very, very long time.
32 years.
He was sharing stories about how, you know, with Charlie Papazian and all the original founders. And he talked about the history of the Brewers Association, how there was these different organizations that merged and became the BA, and how he unified the sort of the craft brewing industry across the United States. And you know, grew it into something that was absolutely massive and was doing some really good stuff for its membership. Things like
big deal.
A lot of the tax stuff. He literally, when I saw him, when I first met him, he literally flew in from Washington, D.C. because he was just on Capitol Hill, you know, doing some lobbying and that sort of thing. And I need to drop him an email, actually, because, so you know, he did his talk about the BA and where each country should go with regards to its independent beer scene. And the guy is fucking 100% right in that, and I've said this before on the show, is that he, you know, the BA, it does a lot of stuff that generates revenue, and the revenue does not come from membership dues,
right,
membership fees. The revenue comes from CBC, like the Craft Brewers Conference and the trade show. It comes from
From membership. It is a membership association, right?
100%, yes. But it's only 10 to 15%.
Right.
It's membership dues. Right. Very, very small amount.
It's
most of the
cheap,
revenue comes from you know, Craft Brewers Conference. So, you know, trade show stands and tickets to CBC. The competitions, so the World Beer Cup and GABF, right? And so competitions are a great way for an organization to make money. The consumer facing events like the Great American Beer Festival, the American Homebrewers Association, which, so the Homebrewers Association is associated with the BA, right? And because they run all of these events, it generates lots of revenue. They have 5 full-time staff that run events, and the profit that they make from that goes back into lobbying efforts.
Right.
Goes into making sure that they got representation on, you know, in not only the on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., but also in all of the state legislatures, so that all of the states, you know, they get that the state chapters get funding to be able to do stuff, to lobby their state governments on state issues. Is it a perfect organization? Fuck no. Does it represent the entirety of craft beer? Absolutely not. But it represents about two-thirds of the craft breweries in the United States are members.
Yeah.
And it's taken a very long time for that to happen. And it the BA stands as a force to be reckoned with, you know. And it's the reason that craft beer in the United States is nearly hit 20% of the beer market share, as opposed to the 8% we have here, or if you're in South Africa, 0.8% of the beer market is craft beer. So
do you think they set the
example of what needs to happen here in Australia and elsewhere in the world.
Do you think the size of the market has got a lot to do with that, or do you think it's not so relevant?
The beer market is in each country is the beer market.
No, I know, but if you look at the...
It's relative to the population.
No, I know, but like if you look at the BA, like I know, like we were a member of the BA because it was reasonably cheap. If I'm recalling correctly, it was reasonably cheap, and there's a lot of resources and data and stuff in there that we could use. And because beer in America is so big that they had a lot of resources that they could give members and that kind of thing. And, you know, expecting an association like the Brewers Association or the IBA in Australia to have something like that is probably a little bit unrealistic.
Yeah. Here in Australia. Yeah. But we could go some of the way, you know, and
right.
You know, it's there's certainly things that we could take a leaf out of their book, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Fair enough.
The model is good.
There is a line in here where it says, during his tenure, which is obviously a very fucking long time, but it says he turned around and solidified the organization's financial standing from debt servicing to $23 million in reserves.
It's like, yeah, it's great.
What member of the brewing community in the world would not like to have $23 million in reserves?
Yeah, bloody oath.
That'd be good.
Absolutely. But look at some of the stuff they did. Federal Act tax relief. The Craft Beverage Modernization and Tax Reform Act, or the CBMTRA, of course. And you know, building those relationships and stuff like that. And it's
I don't know a lot about the excise stuff, but it seems like that would be good timing if you're getting sort of that excise stuff coming in before COVID and then I mean, yeah, what's going on in Australia now is fucking... I know excise, I've said on here, excise is not really the biggest problem, but fuck it, it would have probably helped if there was some kind of relief before COVID and after COVID.
Yeah. Exactly.
Now, I sent you this article. It's very long, and I specifically said, don't read it on the podcast because it's too long, and said, if you do get a chance to read it, please read it, but if not, let's not talk about it. Did you read it?
No.
You didn't read it. Okay, fair enough. No. Well, how about this? How about this? If you get time during the week,
yes,
read this Crafty Pint article about
Closing Loops and Brewing Schmooms.
Don't read it now. I know you're going to be tempted to read it now, but I don't want you to, because I want you to sit down and take your time to read it. It's a misleading article. It's not about mushrooms at all, but it is about sustainability. And I feel that you've talking passionately about breweries like, Rocky Ridge, doing the right thing in terms of sustainability.
Yes.
We've had the guy from Bodrigion, in which what I would describe as basically a grift, getting this carbon neutral thing was a complete scam in my mind. But this, I enjoyed reading this, and I sort of saw some stuff in here that you might like. So read it and then report back next week, and we'll talk about it next week.
Okay.
Right. And then I was also sending this Good Beer Hunting one, which I wasn't sure. It's a week old, and I don't know a lot about Good Beer Hunting.
About it closing?
Yeah.
Didn't we talk about that last week?
I don't think so. Did we talk about that?
Yeah, we talked about it last week. It's closing. Yeah.
There you go. I don't know anything about Good Beer Hunting.
You didn't remember that?
No, definitely not.
Wow, you must have been pretty fucking wasted.
Too many fucking red ales. I put this in, not in Hendo Reacts, because we do have quite a few questions.
Okay.
Range Brewing Comp. Andrew from Frosts in Focus sent this to me, and this is the only the only HR for the week.
Rightio. Do you want me to bring it up?
Bring this up and then bring it up? Thoughts. Yeah, share audio. It's just talking, so it's not any music or anything.
Instagram.
Here from Range. Now, it's no secret that we are very enthusiastic IPA lovers here. And we've been thinking amongst ourselves, and we wanted to have a little bit more fun with IPA.
Well, there is music. Okay, but whatever.
Community in on the action. Mm. So without further ado, we would like to introduce you to a little something that we're throwing called the Queensland IPA Cup. This year's cup will be open to any brewery from Queensland, but for this year, we will only be taking entries from the first 20 breweries to sign up.
I'm entering.
Now, this isn't going to be the same as most beer competitions.
We can do it. Personal brewer IPA.
In fact, we're going to be giving the power back to you. Here's how it will work. The cup will first be judged by some of the industry's best IPA palates, and we'll have prizes for first, second, and third. Then, on Queensland IPA Cup Day, August 31st, we'll be tallying the votes and awarding the People's Champion as voted by the people of Queensland. Now, here at Range, we are merchants of the finest haze. So for that reason, we will be kicking things off with a West Coast IPA challenge for this year's cup. Haze lovers, fear not. We'll be alternating between styles each year so you can get your haze fix next year. Uh-huh. There's plenty more details to come, but for now, what we need you to do is tag your favorite Queensland brewery and tell them to get their entry ready for Wednesday, July 10th at 12 p.m. sharp. Punters, tickets are on sale now, so head to the link in our bio or our website to grab your ticket now. It's going to be a great day for IPA. Hey guys,
that's
Matt here.
Very, that's hard to announce it a week ago and then expect to have beers ready at the end of August.
You can't do that.
Like I get it. I think the fucking idea is great, by the way.
People have brewing schedules to adhere to.
Yeah, people got brewing schedules, exactly. I'm like, yikes. I'm just looking at the taste. I'd love to get the Froth Rookies involved in that.
Yeah.
And I set the Matty Wolf and I set the fucking thing like 6 months in advance. And had I have known, we would have chucked an IPA in there. But instead, we've got lager and we've got dark ale.
No red ale?
And would have been perfect because we could have filtered. Yeah.
I like the idea though. The initiative is good, and it's a
Wouldn't it be funny if a bunch of students won it?
That would be great.
Fuck yeah!
I think that would be good. We did during COVID, we did the Black Ops Reserves homebrew comp, and it was fucking awesome. And you know, I think other breweries, I don't know if other breweries have done that, but you know, there's homebrew comps around. I can't really think of like a brewery comp that's run by another brewery. Can you think of one? I can't recall that ever really happening before.
Look, I'm not sure. You know, competition. I've heard of things like, you know, invitationals and stuff like that. But
oh yeah, bringing a beer to an event. Yeah, but
did brewing he say? Specifically did Matt say for... that it was like it was going to be voted on by? There's some IPA, the best IPA palates.
Yeah, it was some sort of two-stage voting process. I didn't fully understand, yeah, but okay. Yes, there's a public vote and there's
there's some judges and shit.
I think they're probably going to, I think fucking good on for having a crack, but I think they're probably going to struggle to get 20 breweries to send beer to that.
Fucking oath. Yeah, absolutely. I was aware of this and I'd had spoken to one brewery about it and they're like, we can't make something by the end of August. You know, it's like you're telling us, like, if you give us 6 months notice, sure, we'll make something for it. But yeah, I think it's a good idea. Love the idea. Sign me up for next year.
I also saw Range. Range a comment on a Facebook group about so Zapickle, it's a burger joint in the Gold Coast that spread throughout Brisbane and other places.
Yeah, yep.
Closed their Camp Hill venue, and someone put in a Facebook group that there's a rumor that Range might be taking that over. And then I saw a reply from someone called Matt that said it's a very strong rumor.
Oh, well, okay.
So, you know, I mean, that's good. That's good news, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's Southside on Brisbane? Range.
Where's Camp Hill?
It's probably 4 Ks out of the city on the south side of Brisbane, near Cooper Roo, next to Cooper Roo.
Near Cooper Roo. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I actually lived in Camp. Well, I lived in Cooper Roo for a while, my brief stint of leaving the Gold Coast. It's a very good spot. Yep. Camp Hill's great suburb. My mate lives there. Would be perfect for Range. And I like their strategy of leaving Melbourne. The Melbourne venue, I don't think, made any sense.
Yeah.
Opening a small venue in a good suburb close to the city in Brisbane.
Bring the fresh beer to the punters.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into a bit of 12 questions because I think we actually do have questions this week because I was organized enough to post the thread early enough, which normally helps.
You're a smart man.
All right. Justin Griffin, anyone caught the Brewed in Queensland doco? Thoughts? I'll put a link here in the show notes just for anyone wanting to have a little look-see at this.
I started watching it.
Yep.
I got distracted.
Okay.
I need to sit down and watch the rest of it. I got distracted. So sorry. It's mostly Gold Coast, isn't it? Or was it? And I think by the looks of it, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's like it looks like it had been in production since like 2019 or 2020 or something like that.
Man, yeah. I think we were the first people to be interviewed for this documentary. Dead wrong me if I'm wrong. But Dan used to come into the brewery all the time in the early days and be like, yeah, we're going to do a documentary. And I'm all for content. I fucking love it. And especially back then, this is quite a while ago when he was coming in. And then you'd see him a year later, and he's like, yeah, it's coming. And then fucking so many years later, like, I don't know, 5 years later, it's out. So, I mean, the challenging part of it all is that the content in there is... It's pretty old now. A lot of the brewers are not in the same breweries, and some of those breweries don't exist anymore. And so I don't know. It was a lot. He put a fucking lot of effort into it. I know that, a lot of time into it, probably a lot of his own money and a lot of years. So go have a look. But unfortunately, a lot of it's out of date.
Yeah. Yeah. Holy moly.
Yeah. All right, Tom Northwood. Today I saw a billboard in Tweed advertising a club that sells jugs of beer. Question, when was the last time you ordered a jug of beer? Oh, that's a great question. I like that question. How about you?
When was the last time I ordered a jug of beer?
Yeah.
Like fucking last weekend?
Really?
Yeah.
You live close to the regatta, jugs. Don't you? You do that at the regatta.
No. I don't get jugs at the regatta. I get jugs at the RE.
Oh, the RE. Okay. Yep.
I go to the RE a bit. because if I'm feeling quite budget conscious or something like that, I will go to the RE, and you can get like a jug of Forex Gold for like $15.
Well, you're painting a very depressing image here, but that's fine.
Or you can get a jug of VB or something. You know, it's like if you go to the RE, you're not drinking fucking craft beer, right?
No, that's fine. But yeah, you're going to the RE by yourself and buying a jug of Forex. No. Is that just to clarify? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, I'm the guy sitting in the corner just going. No, I'm usually with like Duncan and Adzi and not Adam Schell, the other Adam Schell, and sometimes if the UFC's on or something like that, we'll watch it there.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, that's cool. Jugs are awesome. I haven't ordered a jug in fucking probably decades, to be honest with you.
But you know the interesting thing is, right? Let me ask you this question. When was the last time you ordered a craft beer in a jug?
Craft beer in a jug.
Mm.
I would almost say never. Yeah. I think almost never.
Yeah. Yeah. Are we missing the opportunity
there? Does Pacific Ale count? I probably would have.
Well, jugs of Pacific Ale. Yeah. Let's call it independent beer. When's the last time you bought some independent?
Well, it would have been independent when I would. Honestly, I haven't ordered a jug in, I would say it could be 10 years.
So what happened to the jug?
Well, I think this is a great question from Tom Northwood. We don't have answers, but
he said, "What happened?
When was the last time you ordered a jug? 2002? ? I left that bit out because I felt like it was going to lead the witness.
I've ordered a jug in the last 4 weeks, easily.
That's amazing. Okay, I want to order a jug,
but not independent beer.
No, I miss jugs. I hadn't even thought about jugs in years. That sounds amazing. I mean, I think about jugs, but. Anyway, let's move on. Wally Crocker, question, colon. I like the punctuation
Bring
on this
back.
Is very solid. Bring it back. What is the best place to get the latest science-based information for professional brewing, and why is it Homebrew Forum post from 2010? Whoa, that's shots fired as well, isn't it?
Wow. Ask the question. He's coming at you. What did he say? What did he say?
Where do you get the latest science-based information for professional brewing, and why is it Homebrew Forum post from 2010?
You get it from me.
Well, I think he's coming at you with that Homebrew comment.
Because
you've said many times on this podcast, do not go to Homebrew Forums for professional brewing advice.
Yeah, of course. Professional brewers shouldn't go to homebrewers for advice. If you're a home brewer, sure, go ahead, knock yourself out. But home brewers are full of, misinformation, conjecture, theory, all this sort of stuff without any sort of, with the exception of brewlosophy, without any sort of data-based insights, if you know what I mean. You know, empirical data and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So the answer to that is, it's for professional brewers. You're not going to get much for free out there. Like I share as much as I possibly can and that sort of thing, but there's only so much you can share in a fucking 60-second reel, you know?
True, but also fucking ask a question on the podcast and ask Hendo to make a video. There's a lot of content out there.
Yeah, of course. Just ask. Exactly. Just follow me on Instagram or on Rockstar Brewer or Facebook at Rockstar Brewer Academy or YouTube. And I'm posting there 3 times a week and hope to be ramping up that content even more soon, which I'll tell you about when I got my ducks lined up. And, more content. I want to share more content.
Yeah, or the Brewers Association.
Or the Brewers Association. There's a really good guy, Adam Mills, is a bloody legend. So Adam_makes_beer on Instagram.
Yeah.
And he has his Adam Makes Beer YouTube channel, and he's based in just outside of Cincinnati. And he is the head brewer of Sonder Brewing. And he does a once a month podcast where you ask him questions and he answers questions. And he interviews people. And I've been on his show and it's been phenomenal. And yeah.
Nice. The dude from the podcast you did that went for like 3 hours. That dude reached out to me on LinkedIn.
Oh, Kelly Meyer,
the guy from the How Not to Start Adam Brewery.
Dan Brew.
Can I just start Adam's Brewery?
You should have a chat to him.
Well, he messaged me on LinkedIn, which I check it, but it's always spam, and I normally just ignore all the messages.
Yeah.
And then I got a message from him, and I replied back straight away. I said, yeah, have a chat at some point. Sounds good. And then he never replied back. So, you know, could be a good message. Chat. But, you know,
I'll drop there a you message. Go. Could be spicy chat.
It could be a spicy chat, but he wasn't keen, I don't think. I don't know. All right. Ben Carlton, how does the water filtration process differ between making a batch of beer versus making coffee? Are things like pH, TDS measured in a brew, or do they just open up the mains water pipe and send it? For coffee, I assume he's talking about coffee.
Of course.
With that last comment.
What was his question about water?
How does the water filtration, water filters, do you filter coffee? Do you measure pH, TDS?
Oh, in water.
Of coffee. Yeah, in coffee.
Yeah, do you?
No, but it's filtered mainly. The main reason to filter water is to keep the coffee machines good.
Get the chlorine out.
Well, because you get the scale build up and shit like that.
Well, that's calcium. Yeah.
Well, calcium, yeah.
Yeah, that's my glasses.
But yeah, I don't. I mean, maybe there is. I mean, for normal coffees, I've never heard of people doing like water chemistry to get the coffee right. Possibly for like real nerdy sort of coffees. Possibly, but generally the filters are just to keep the machine maintenance schedules.
I reckon water alkalinity and pH has to have an effect. Water would have to have an effect on coffee flavor.
Probably would.
There'd be no question on that.
Yeah.
No question.
But the thing is with coffee, like it depends how you're drinking coffee. If you're having like, you know, batch filter coffee, you're tasting everything. Whereas like 99% of people who drink coffee are like me, who are like, I will drink a coffee with milk and fucking a bit of chocolate on top in the morning.
Yes.
And none of that means anything. But if you're really into it, probably.
Yeah.
None of our customers are in that group though. I had a business that was targeting beer nerds for the most part. Coffee business is not. It's like coffee shops and people like me that love coffee but are not coffee geeks, you know?
Yeah.
Nick Lennon, are highballs as well call them in Korea? I don't know what the fuck that means. Outpacing beer. Get your punctuation right, Nick Lennon. Jesus Christ. Outpacing beer now. Australia calls them hard lemon. Highballs. Oh, maybe as we call them in Korea, maybe.
A highball in Japan is a scotch and soda.
Yeah. I thought it's not like a whiskey.
Yeah, scotch and soda.
He means are highballs, as we call them in Korea, outpacing beer now.
He's in Korea. He's in Seoul.
That makes sense. I think he means as we. It says well, but that's fine.
Yes.
Outpacing beer now. Australia calls them hard lemon. Oh.
Yeah, well, RTDs and lots of stuff.
Guess what I bought after I couldn't find a fucking fresh beer?
Hard rated?
Hard rated. Zero sugar. I fucking went there. That's what I bought.
Ah, yeah, cool.
Yeah. Are they out
Jack Daniels here?
I mean, they have to be, wouldn't they?
I got a Jack Daniels here.
Do you? Oh, fuck yeah. Do you see the post in the group about the 95 cent Jack Daniels?
Yes.
That turn you on?
It's Dan. Yeah, fuck yeah. That was Dan. I'm going to catch up with him when I'm over there in October.
Nice.
I bought my plane ticket to Japan last weekend.
Oh, isn't it like really cheap at the moment? And the yen?
It's pretty cheap,
and real cheap.
I spent 350 return plus some points.
But the bang for the buck is solid at the moment.
Oh, damn it, so good. Yeah, but did you see the picture he posted was not this Jack Daniels and cola, it was Jack Daniels and Coca-Cola or Coke Zero.
We don't get
so that. Obviously because like it's not a so it's that I think it's Cadbury Schweppes who distribute Jack Daniels. They don't have the rights to Coca-Cola.
Oh, okay. Mm. It's probably literally exactly the same shit.
Not really. No, it's not.
No? Tastes different?
No. Yeah.
No? 95 cents, a good deal. And all right, Jake Woods, question for Dan. Have you cracked into the hard-rated lemon lime yet? Oh, I look for it.
What? There's a hard-rated lemon lime?
There's a hard-rated lemon lime.
Sick.
Here. Let's do it. Hendo reacts. Just I'll find picture. An emergency Hendo reacts for you. Wait up. I watch this video. You will. Here we go. I'm going to send you this. All right. Here's a little.
Okay.
Go into the Zoom chat. Let's do an emergency right. Hendo reacts. Okay.
Okay.
Click on that. Share volume. A bit of Russ Eats activity from TikTok. Share screen and share volume.
Hang on. Yeah, gotcha. Share. All right, who we got here? Who's that? Who's
Russ
this
Eats.
Guy?
He's the king Russ of Eats. Drinks and stuff.
All right, let's go. You ready?
Righto, it's State of Origin, which means cheeky midweek piss, and I've got my hands on the Hard Solo Lemon Lime Zero Sugar. Now, this is the alcoholic version of this that they re-released, but it's not the same as the full sugar version. This one behind me, I think, was the greatest drink ever to grace this fucking earth. So I hope they bring this out in a full sugar version as well, because I like to bounce between both, okay? Now, I realised when they changed it to hard rated, it actually opened the doors to do like a hard rated orange, which would be Sunkist, because in Australia... PPs is owned by Asahi. So a hard-rated cola or zero cola would just be Pepsi or Pepsi Max, and you could do all the other flavors as well. Hard Mountain Dew or 7-Up. I don't even give a fuck if they do a hard endless. Akron or Cool Ridge or a hard Gatey. Imagine
hard that. Cool Ridge.
Honestly, that is one of the best liquids to enter my fucking body. I've already finished it. At the 9.75, only the full sugar will get the 10, but it's like the normal hard salt is zero, but then the lime gives it this extra layer of twang and bitterness that almost makes it more drinkable. That is fucking naughty. Go the fucking Blues. Righto, it's...
All right.
Yeah.
A bit of a mission. You've got to try.
No, I was already on... I saw that last night, and I was like, I'm on the mission already, but they did not have it. In the BWS I went to, I'm on top of that. I will.
Yeah,
I will,
so it's going to be fucking hard to get for a long time.
Probably, no pun intended. Yeah. All right, Paul James, East Coast Roast Golf Day, will there be beer? Well, we did the first East Coast Rover event last week at the Usher Group Charity Golf Day, and we provided coffee to everyone, so that was cool, but there wasn't beer. The problem with golf is... that it's a fucking shit sport. You know what I mean?
No, you need to sink piss.
Yeah, I will do it. If there's beer involved, I will do it. But it's just, it looks so much better than it is. Like I drove past a golf course this morning. I'm like, oh man, those guys look like they're having fun. But I played golf so many times to know they are not having fun. They fucking hate it because it's a fucking shit sport.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think I'll be doing a golf day. My own golf day.
Fair enough.
There's an answer there. I have got a hole in one once though, so there's that, and that's a relevant piece of information. That's about it.
That's awesome.
You can sit back and chill on your JD while I put all the work JD. Into
one of those days. Thursday seems to be the day where I spend 12 hours on Zoom.
It always is. It always is those days. What are we gonna do when
I had a family meeting. Just before.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. How's Hendo?
Yeah. The other Hendo, who doesn't get called Hendo, who likes to think he's called Hendo. Yeah.
Well,
he's right.
Well, at your 50th, your brother was...
He was calling himself Hendo, yeah. He's
calling himself Hendo.
Yeah. It was good. We just had a check. I spent half an hour trying to get Mum's computer to get to Zoom because she's 82 years old and can't really do Zoom, but I can remote into a computer. And... yeah, it's just all the family issues and that sort of thing at the moment. It's nothing bad or anything like that. Just fucking dealing with shit. Mum's getting old and she needs extra care, and we're just managing that, you know.
Yeah, one year older than the current president of the United States.
That's right.
We don't have to do that.
Which means only 3 years older than the other guy.
Yes, fucking isn't that scary? Isn't that fucking crazy?
Yeah,
I mean, nothing against old people, but 81-year-olds should not be running for fucking
countries. Yep.
Oh, that's so crazy. Yeah, what are we going to do when we no longer have free hosting? Because I've basically sold my hosting business. I've handed it over at this point.
Yes.
I sort of have an agreement with them where I will have mates rates to a hosting account. But the problem is with the podcast is they're pretty big files. Like I'll do it.
How much data are we smashing out with the number of listeners?
I don't think it's the data. I think it's the storage. Let's have a look at, let's say 150 meg per episode times 130 episode. That's 20 gig. That's 20 gig of storage. That's just the audio files.
That's not huge.
It's not huge. It's not. But I think we will at some point have to either wrap it up or migrate to a different host or I don't know. Or maybe he'll just be cool with it and not give a shit.
Yeah. Yeah. See what happens.
All right.
We'll just have a conversation and we will we'll sort the details out.
Yeah. Do you think you should wrap it up at 144 episodes? Just call it?
Maybe. how many? That's one score. Yeah. What are we on now?
That's 12 12s. 144 is 12 12s. We're 130.
How many episodes are we on now?
130.
Okay.
14 more.
Okay. We could have this done by the end of the year.
We could just
by Christmas.
Wrap it up in a tight little bow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we're going to go out, let's go out with a bang.
Yeah. I mean, we could potentially do like the last episode live, maybe. Do it at high.
Yeah, we've got to do at least one and one more beer.
We have to do one more beer, yeah. And it's got to be by August.
Yeah.
For the IPA comp.
No, that's not good.
Yeah.
All right. To be continued.
Right. To be continued. All right, mate.
Have a good night.
You too, mate. Enjoy that JD and Coke.
Thanks, man. Later.